morning. I thought you needed a little bit of an extended wake-up call this morning. That was a little bit more of our theme song, Good Morning by Mandisa. Well, good morning to you. I'm Gary Zimak, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thanks for joining us today. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to kick things off with prayer. Before I tell you about the guests, as we lead into prayer today, we want to keep in mind some of the events that unfolded over the past day. The shooting in Washington, the apartment fire in London. You know, these are things that we watch them on the news. We are aware of the different tragedies and problems going on around us. And sometimes we can almost lose hope. We never want to do that because we always want to bring these things to the Lord in prayer. We also want to remember this, that we're all connected. So anybody that's suffering from any of these events, somehow those people need our help. So we want to remember that. We want to ask the Lord to help all those affected by these tragedies, and we want to bring to Him all our intentions, and we want to ask Him to help us as we begin the day. So let's start. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, first of all, we thank You for bringing us to the start of a new day. Thank You for loving us so much that You created us, that You allowed us to have life. Father, we ask You to continue to walk with us each day, guide us, help us to deal with any problem that we may face. We lift up those who are struggling today with illness. We lift up those who might be dealing with financial problems. We lift up those affected by the recent tragedies in the news over the past few days. We pray for world peace. We pray for the wisdom to be able to speak Your message on this program. We also pray for an open mind so that we may be able to hear and follow Your message to us. Father, we thank You for sending us Your Son, Jesus. May we always listen to Him and His teaching through the Catholic Church. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, My name is Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. By my side, as he is each day, Mr. Dave Parker.
Good morning, everyone.
Mr. Parker, how are you?
I'm well, Gary. How are you?
I'm well, Dave. You know, well, we were talking a little bit off air about the events of the past day or so.
Yes.
And you've always been a big a newsie, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I have.
But Dave, it's easy to see how one can almost fall into despair.
Oh, absolutely.
By looking at the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The world can be a dark place at
very time. Dark place. And especially then with the in our day and age, with the news media whirlwind surrounding everything.
Yep.
You know, like the shooting yesterday, and it's still going on today. They're still unpacking it and analyzing it and all that. And then the fire in London, and God rest those souls. And every tragedy, there's more around the world than we know. But I was going to say, Gary, that was a beautiful opening prayer.
Thank you.
And let us not forget, folks, that Jesus wants to bring us to joy and happiness, and that we can be that joy and happiness in the world in our communities.
It's easy to forget, and sometimes
exactly.
We can almost begin to watch these news broadcasts and see things on the internet as entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as if we're watching a movie.
Yeah,
but
from a distance, you know.
We forget these people's lives are often shattered by these events.
Yes, yes. And I found for me that, I mean, there's an off button, on-off button.
Yep.
And I just turn it off. And then like this morning, I retripled my prayer. While I was waking up, I didn't turn any of that stuff on.
Okay.
I just prayed about it.
Yeah.
And lifted it up.
And when you do that, you start to realize that these situations are not hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the idea of world peace, and it seems like something that'll never happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can't assume that. We realize that God created the entire universe out of nothing. He can bring about peace in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't get discouraged. We need to keep praying for this and for all these different things that we hear
absolutely.
About in the news.
Yes.
And I'd say world peace starts with us. Oops, I'm on the wrong mic.
Yeah.
go, brother.
Good point, Frank Eliason.
No, I was going to say world peace simply starts with us. And, you know, I think we have to remember that in our hearts, in our actions, you know, what we do, how we react to these things, how we react to others around us. You know, this mm-hmm. was, you know, obviously the event yesterday was a disturbed individual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I do think that the discourse that we display each and every day in places like social media towards mm-hmm. each other adds to that,
yeah.
you know, fervor to do these types of things.
Exactly.
And so, you know, it starts in our own hearts.
Well, to your point, I mean, social media, just media in general, 24/7, 365, Frank and Gare, I mean, it can go either way.
Right.
It could be a frenzy in the negative direction.
Yep.
And criticizing. And that, I think that's where we have become or we have gone to. And what keeps cropping up in my mind is civility. Mm. We need to regain civility on both sides, all sides of every issue. We may disagree, right. but this disturbed individual, I mean, it just consumed him right. in the negative right. direction. And he was going to do something. He was going to go eradicate those people,
right?
You
right.
know, because he disagreed with them. We can't
right.
do that.
Right.
We just can't do that.
Right. And to excellent point, Dave, and something Frank said really registered. And I think one of the main focuses of this show, or I don't know if that's even a word, but one of my main goals for this show has always been to try to inspire you to do something to change the world. And what you said, Frank, social media, I mean, there are so many the opportunities for good on mm-hmm. social media.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a lot of work with social media in your career, but there also is that opportunity to do a lot of damage.
There is, and mm-hmm. I think we see it, and I don't think people necessarily recognize it. I see it in the discourse that happens each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
I see it in the comedic jokes that were not jokes,
right.
And people
right.
all know that comedian situation. You know, that's what comes with that. And,
yeah.
and truthfully, it's people striving for attention, doing more to grab more attention.
Right.
This incident yesterday was trying to grab attention for themselves. Mm. And this is what's happened in social media. You know, this is not about attention. There's one place where attention should be going.
Right.
And that's not us individually. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow. Well said. So, I mean, something to keep in mind today, what can I do to make a positive difference in
mm-hmm.
the world? And
yes.
and there is something that mm-hmm. each of us can do. I want to mention that coming up on the show today, we're going to be joined first by author Tim Muldoon, along with his wife, Sue. He has written a book called The Discerning Parent, An Ignatian Guide to Raising Your Teen. Also in the show, our second guest will be Monsignor John Marine, the pastor of St. Bede the Venerable Church in Holland, PA. He's going to be talking about the upcoming of the second annual Padre Pio Festival. So we're excited to hear the details of that festival, which is going to be in our own backyard. Now let's take a look at today's gospel, which is the gospel from Tuesday of the 10th week in Ordinary Time. Before I read this, I did want to point out one thing. I've gotten some requests about reading the additional readings. We read the gospel, but there's also a first reading and a psalm each day for daily mass. I reinstituted my podcast in the past week or so where you can listen to me read the entire first reading, the responsorial psalm, and the gospel each day. If you're interested in listening to my podcast, it's called The Gary Zimak Show. You can find out more at my website, followingthetruth.com. It's free of charge. It's on iTunes. It's on TuneIn Radio. It originates on Blog Talk Radio. You'll also hear each day one of the interviews that we do on Spirit in the Morning. So we're packaging up a lot of these readings and the interviews. If you want to hear the readings taken a little bit further, you might want to check that out. Visit my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information. But let's get to the gospel. It's from Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 through 26. Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court with him. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. Dave Parker, Jesus here continues in his Sermon on the Mount to explain a little bit more in detail some of the Mosaic law. Thou shalt not kill. The people had an understanding of this. But Jesus was, and I think, Dave, we do the same thing sometimes. All right, I haven't killed anybody today, so I can check off that commandment. But if we look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and by the way, Monday we're going to be at a celebration of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, there are many occasions where we can kill with our words or with our thoughts.
Yes, so, I was just thinking that.
Right, and what Jesus is saying, this is not just a matter of physically killing somebody. You got to watch your words.
With our words. Our rapier tongue sometimes. We speak without thinking so often.
Right.
And we hurt people.
And we do. And this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to explain to his listeners, to his followers, that, guys, we got to step it up a little bit. It's not just physical killing we're talking about. And the Lord was very clear, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not going to get into heaven. The scribes and the Pharisees, they followed the letter of the law. But they didn't follow the Lord with their heart.
Exactly.
And they just followed the rituals. Then that means, this is a tough message, that we can go to church every Sunday, never miss Mass, but we're not guaranteed to get into heaven. It's more than that.
That is so true.
And that's hard. That's challenging. But this is the thing about listening to the words of Jesus. These words are challenging. So let that be a challenge for you today. I certainly am affected by this, and I'm going to try to live this out today. Make sure you watch your words and your actions, because you can do a lot of harm with them. When we come back, Tim Muldoon, we're going to talk about raising your team according to St. Ignatius. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 15th. Today we celebrate St. Marguerite Duville. We learn compassion from allowing our lives to be influenced by compassionate people, by seeing life from their perspective, and reconsidering our own values. Today's saint learned well. Born in Canada in 1701, Marguerite left school early to help her widowed mother. At 21, she married Pierre Duville, a bootlegger who illegally sold liquor to the local Indians. Within a decade, Marguerite had borne 6 children and buried 4 of them, along with her husband. While caring for her 2 surviving sons, she ran a store to help pay off Pierre's debts and still found time to aid the poor. Once her children were grown, Marguerite and several companions rescued a Quebec hospital that was in danger of failing. They grew to become the Institute of the Sisters of Charity of Montreal, popularly known as the Grey Nuns, because of the color of their habit. The Grey Nuns Hospital in Montreal set a standard for medical care and Christian compassion. At Marguerite's beatification ceremony, Pope John XXIII called her the Mother of Universal Charity. Canonized in 1990, she was the first native-born Canadian so honored. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
When going about your daily life becomes difficult, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433.
Angel Army provides compassionate home care services. Angel Army can assist you with your personal care, make your bed, do your laundry, and perform light housekeeping. We can accompany you to various appointments, shopping, or just keep you company.
Angel Army is an equal opportunity company and can be reached at 215-805-8433 or visit angelarmycare.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit, spirit, spirit in the morning with Gary Zimak.
For all who come, who
There is power in the name of Jesus. That was Lincoln Brewster. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to start things off with author Tim Muldoon. He's a theologian, and he is the author and editor of several books on Ignatian spirituality, along with his wife, Sue. He has written a book called The Discerning Parent, An Ignatian Guide to Raising Your Teen. Tim is here with us today to talk a little bit about this. Tim Muldoon, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gary. Great to be with you.
Nice for you to join us on the program. Okay, Tim, as the father of two teenage daughters, I'm very interested in this book. I really enjoyed it. I want to talk a little bit about the origin of the book. What motivated you and your wife to write this book?
Well, this is our second book together, and mm-hmm. The first one was also an attempt to reflect on the Ignatian tradition, how it's informed our parenting and our family life. And so when our publishers, Ave Maria Press, came to us and said, we'd love for you to write another one, we said, okay, what should we think about and pray about over the next many months? Mm-hmm. And it was fairly obvious that we wanted to really give some attention to just the challenges that are there in the teen years and how they differ from maybe when your kids are younger. So it was a fairly easy decision in that respect.
Now let's talk a little bit about the message contained in the book. And, you know, in the limited time we have, I just want to hit on some of the highlights of each chapter. In chapter one, you begin by asking the broad, and it's a very broad question, of how can we be good parents to our teens? Talk a little bit about that, if you could.
Yeah, sure can. So the big picture for us was that word discernment. This is certainly a rich term in the tradition of Christian spirituality,
right,
in particular in the Ignatian tradition. And so what we were observing was that there are really two challenges. Number one, our kids are getting older. They're becoming more independent. You know, they themselves are facing, you know, some pretty consequential life decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to recognize that, but we also wanted to recognize, on the other hand, that we ourselves, as parents, were you know, facing different and new challenges. The kids aren't little. There's not that kind of immediacy of just fun and play and that sort of thing. So thinking about how we can be good parents to our teens, it struck us that we needed to you know, return to basics, just get to the basics about what it means to pray, what it means to be in a relationship with God, and even how we wanted to approach the task of parenting through the lens of our faith. Effectively to say, look, you know, parenting is never easy, but we're going to lean into these new challenges. We're going to lean into the developing new relationship that we're going to be having with our children, and to really seek God's grace in that process.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you highlight discernment. You talk about Ignatian discernment in the book, because I think that is, as you mentioned, it's a somewhat confusing word. We think about discernment and we tie it automatically to vocations, but to religious vocations a lot of times, but it's actually much greater than that, both for a parent and both for a child. Discernment is a huge part of life, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's certainly true. And now, you know, it's one that's on the, you know, the top of everyone's list, but we really thought that it was important to use it because
right.
It does have this rich kind of theological overtone.
Right.
You know, discernment is careful decision-making by listening to God. I mean, ultimately, you know, really paying attention in prayer to the way that God moves us this way or that. So, you know, it is a kind of a complex word, but this was the real insight behind our first book, that discernment is not just for, you know, priests or religious people or, you know, those who are, you know, in a monastery. It's for Christian living. You know, it's for asking the everyday questions of you know, seeking guidance from God. And again, how does that not apply to parenting? Because you're constantly
yeah.
needing to say, oh, God, what am I going to do in this situation?
Oh, yeah.
So it is, I think, an important idea.
In one of the chapters, you talk a little bit about how we can help our teens become adept at building lives rooted in freedom. And I think that's a very important topic, because in today's society, when we hear freedom, a lot of times we assume that it means freedom from rules of any kind. And in
right.
reality, that's not true freedom, is it?
Right, right. And this is, again, a very Ignatian concept, very rich concept in Ignatian spirituality, and just broadly in Christian spirituality. So we make the distinction between autonomy, which is more what you're describing, that, mm-hmm. that sense that I can make my own rules, I can do what I want. Of course, you know, every team wants that. Mm. Who doesn't? As they're hitting, you know, 30, 40, 15, they're growing in their autonomy, and rightly so. That's not a bad thing.
Right.
But the real challenge, I think every parent will recognize, is that you want to at least provide some guidelines so that their autonomy actually turns into freedom. In other words, it helps them become more and more the person that God has created them to be, and that's ultimately where we find our freedom.
One of the things that I think will interest many of our listeners who are parents of teenagers is the fact that you address the importance of the teen's regular participation in mass. Can you talk a little bit about how you handle that? Because that's a sensitive topic.
That's a tough one, yeah. So now this is where we'd have to say, you know, there's got to be a bigger story here. I don't want any parent in the world to feel bad if their kids sometimes don't want to go to mass.
Right.
Our kids don't want to go to mass sometimes. And of course, there's going to be pushback. Again, that's part of the autonomy. But what we write about in the book is how really throughout our lives as parents, that's been a staple. We've never not gone to mass. You know, and so, you know, we've kind of been able to push past the I don't want to go, I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. You know, we really kind of just said, no, this is the time that we give to God. This is important to us as a family. This is important to us as parents. Fully expecting that you know, very frequently nowadays, you know, there's going to be pushback. Actually, mm-hmm. in recent months, like, there's been a little bit of cooling. They're sort of going along with it. Of course, that's expected. But, you know, we have certainly a you know, faith that's rooted in the Eucharist. We have an understanding of this being a great gift of God. And even just from the objective standpoint, an hour a week is not too much to ask. So,
right,
you know,
right.
We kind of come back to that and just say, no, this is who we are. This is what we do.
One of the things that really struck me in the book is you reflect in really the final chapter on how to handle parenting when life is hard. I mean, I like the fact that you don't ignore that. Sometimes, Tim,
yeah.
it just is a challenge, isn't it? We don't know what to do.
That's exactly right. And here again is where we wanted to send a very clear message to other parents. We know there are tough things you may deal with. The last thing we want to do is come across as, you know, the perfect people who figured it all out.
Right.
You know, everything's great. And, you know, it can be difficult. You know, no matter what you're dealing with. I mean, we know parents that are wrestling with all sorts of issues. Sometimes they're health issues, sometimes mm-hmm. they're mental health issues, mm-hmm. sometimes they're behavioral issues, sometimes, you know, they're rooted in social, you know, dynamics. There are all sorts of things that you sign up for as parents, and you don't get to choose those things. So,
right.
So we just say, you know, look, again, you know, there's no perfection here. There is struggle, and very often, you know, struggle that we're not even sure we know how to handle. But, and this is the real message, again, leaning into it and knowing that God walks with us. We're never abandoned by God in our struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they make you very serious. You know, we know parents that have dealt with, you know, really, really, you know, serious things. And there have been moments in our own parenting where we said, oh, boy, you know, what are we going to do about this? And and so, again, it's just a way of saying, look, you're not alone in it. God is to be found in that. You know, there is grace to be discovered. And so, you know, again, leaning into it, not ignoring it, not running away from it, but praying your way through it in your own discernment process and allowing that to be an opportunity for maybe new relationship with your teen.
Great job, Tim. The Discerning Parent Ignatian Guide to Raising Your Teen, Tim and Sue Muldoon from Ave Maria Press. It really is a great book. And brother, I thank you for joining us on the program today. Tim, if our listeners are interested in getting a copy of the book, maybe finding about more about the work that you and your wife do, where's the best place to go?
Well, they can go to our website, which is timandsuemuldoon.com, all one word, or they can go to AveMariaPress.com, the publisher, or they can Google it and go on Amazon or wherever, where books are sold. They can find a copy.
That's perfect, and I'm going to have a link at spiritinthemorning.com to make it even easier. Tim, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
I appreciate it, Gary. Take care.
All right. Take care as well. God bless you. Tim Muldoon talking about his book, The Discerning Parent, An Ignatian Guide to Raising Your Teen. It really is a good book. So if you're somebody who has a teenager at home, or maybe you're a grandparent
mm-hmm.
and your son or daughter has a teen at home,
absolutely.
This would be an excellent resource.
Yeah. Good point.
Dave,
good point.
You know what's really good about books like this? They remind us that we're not alone. Sometimes we think we're alone.
Exactly.
Or
yeah.
I'm the only one who has this problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's never the case.
Exactly. And what a timely book, too. I mean,
yeah.
Very sound advice. You know, my kids are out of their teen years, and basically, that's timeless.
Yep, it sure is. When we come back, Monsignor John Marine is going to be talking about the second annual Padre Pio Festival in Holland, PA. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm Jacob Popcheck with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Lawmakers are returning to the Capitol and, they hope, to some semblance of normalcy just a day after a rifle-wielding anti-conservative attacker opened fire on Republican lawmakers as they practiced for a charity baseball game. House GOP Whip Steve Scalise of Louisiana was critically wounded in the attack that also injured aides and Capitol Police. The assailant, who had nursed grievances against President Donald Trump and the GOP, fought a running gun battle with police before he, too, was shot and later died. Scalise, for his part, was at last report still in critical condition following surgery. Turning abroad, London's fire commissioner says it will be a miracle if any survivors are found following a devastating high-rise fire that killed at least 12 people. Authorities have said many more victims are expected, though. Danny Cotton told Sky News that authorities don't expect to find anyone else alive after the blaze and that it's too early to speculate on just how it started. And in more news from England, Cardinal Vincent Nicholls, president of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, has expressed his disappointment over the resignation of Tim Farron as leader of that nation's Liberal Democratic Party, saying that he had, quote, undoubtedly been given a hard time. Farron stepped down as his party's leader this week, claiming that he'd long been, quote, torn between living as a faithful Christian and serving as a political leader, and further suggesting that he'd felt compromised, particularly on LGBT-related issues. Cardinal Nicholls, in response, said that, quote, the great British value of tolerance is no longer sufficient, and urged instead for a, quote, sense of where the dignity of every individual comes from. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Jacob Popcheck.
I'm Gary Zimak, host of Spirit in the Morning, and I have great news for you. Tradition, a celebration of the 25th anniversary of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, sponsored by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, is coming to the Sheraton Philadelphia Downtown Hotel on Monday, June the 19th. Scheduled to appear, Archbishop Charles Chaput, Jeff Caven, Scott Hahn, Mother Assumpta Long, Matthew Bunsen, Deborah Savage, and Jonathan Reyes. For more information or to register, visit PhillyOCF.org.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. One day, 91-year-old Franciscan sister Alvera O'Grady saw one of her aides knitting a hat on a loom and was immediately intrigued. She discovered that she was making hats for St. Joseph's Hospital. As reported by the Catholic Sun, Sister Alvera learned how to knit as well, and when a few of the other sisters saw her creating the hats, they wanted to join in too. Before long, these tight-knit nuns in Liverpool, New York, were producing hundreds of hats, many of which they chose to donate to various charities, including their mission school of St. Rose of Lima in Peru. Fellow knitter Sister Eleanor Grace said, "I feel really happy when I'm making them. If we had a tagline for this ministry, it would be, 'In every stitch, there is a prayer.'" This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Broken, live or die. So speak. Is
it. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life.
And that was Speak Life by Toby Mac. Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Let's take a quick look at the weather forecast for the Delaware Valley right now at the Philadelphia International Airport. It is 62 degrees. Today it's going to be partly sunny, high near 81. Tonight a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 3 a.m. Then mostly cloudy with a low around 62. Friday, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Cloudy otherwise with a high near 81. At the present time in Jenkintown, it's 62. In Phoenixville, it is 63. And in Quakertown, it is 64 degrees. All right, coming up in the near future, June 23rd, 24th, and 25th, at St. Bede the Venerable Church in Holland, PA, there is going to be the second annual Padre Pio Festival. We are joined now by Monsignor John Marine, the pastor of St. Bede the Venerable Church, to talk a little bit about that festival. Monsignor, good morning.
Good morning, Garrett. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Thanks so much for joining us to talk a little bit about the second annual Padre Pio Festival. The first thing I want to ask you, Monsignor, is what was the inspiration for doing this festival?
Okay. My inspiration, first of all, was I had known about Padre Pio as a child. Mm-hmm. You know, the first miracle that is attributed to him in the United States happened in my home parish of Holy Savior in Norristown. Mm. A young girl from the Calandro family was healed of a birth deficiency, and I remember being so touched by that. I think I was in eighth grade, mm-hmm. but you know, I kind of lost touch with Padre Pio, and about a couple of years ago, I picked up a biography of him, started reading it, and I said, wow, this is a saint for our times. Mm. I mean, with what's going on in our world, in our church, and just the people just falling away from God and living such secular lives, mm-hmm. you know, the secularization of our society, this is a man that was in touch with where people were. Even though he was, so to speak, buried away in a monastery, he was very much in touch with people because they came to him,
right?
And people need healing. They're suffering with physical illnesses, but a lot of spiritual illnesses. They don't realize they need the Lord. But he connected them. He was a bridge, and I think I want to be that kind of priest. And I wanted to promote the devotion to him. So I guess that's the inspiration.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about this. This is a three-day festival, and looking at the schedule, it's a combination of social activities, entertainment, plus spirituality.
Right.
So could you talk a little bit about a little bit more about what we can expect if we go to this festival? And of course, we're going to put the whole lineup on our spiritinthemorning.com website.
But right.
Just let us know what we can expect.
Sure.
If we could.
Real briefly, Friday night. Mm-hmm. If you're a teenager or a young adult, you're going to hear a fantastic talk by Dan Finocchio from Lansdale Catholic. We're going to have an outdoor holy hour under our huge tent that we have.
Wow.
With the Lady of Guadalupe praise and worship, that team band.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's social activities afterwards. So that's centered. We're trying to draw in our teens and young adults because he was a saint that had a great place in his heart for them.
Mm.
Saturday, we're going to have our vigil mass and blessing with the relics. So a lot of pilgrims, primarily we get not only our parishioners, but people come from all over the tri-state area. Last year we had somebody came as far as Toronto, from Toronto, Canada.
Wow.
So we have the relics of Padre Pio. We have, like, a bandage with the blood that came from his stigmata. So we're going to be blessing people with that relic. On Sunday, June 25th, we have a Capuchin priest. You know, Padre Pio was a Capuchin.
Mm-hmm.
Father Tom Betts, a fantastic preacher devoted to Padre Pio himself. He's coming for our 12:30 Mass, which we call our Pilgrim's Mass. And then a neighborhood street procession. Very important to bring our faith out into the streets, into the neighborhood. So we're going to be praying the rosary through the streets as we carry his statue aloft. And that's going to be followed by a healing service, which is probably one of the most powerful parts of this, the spiritual part of the celebration, where last year we had people, wheelchairs, stretchers, all kinds of things, and people coming for spiritual healings, physical healings. And during that time, we'll have about 10 priests hearing confessions, and people will come up to be blessed by the relics and also to be anointed with holy oil.
And let's
go ahead.
I was just going to say, let's talk a little bit about that healing service because, you know, we live in an age of skepticism, and people could be listening to this and saying, wait a minute, that doesn't really work. There are no such thing as healings. Talk a little bit about the importance of going to a healing service.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, when you're carrying the cross, people are looking for help. People are looking for reassurance. And sometimes they'll come, they'll say, well, I'll try this out, you know,
or
a friend will bring them. Who has the faith. And it's very similar to what happened in the time of Jesus. People brought their friends to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so that the people come and they're filled with their burdens. And there's something that happens between the powerful preaching, between the powerful music, and seeing everyone else walking up in faith. I think people get caught up in that. And they walk away reassured last year, many of them, because I heard many of them saying, even if I don't get the physical cure I'm looking for, I'm leaving here feeling like God is with me.
Wow.
You know, and that's why my committee is just so enthused to do this again, you know, because of what they experienced last year. And so I think that's what people can find. So even if, you know, God's willing to accept no matter what amount of faith we have, even if it's mixed with skepticism, come and allow the Lord to expand that faith, you know.
I totally agree, because I've been in situations in the past where I've been skeptical. I think I'm a skeptical person by nature, and I've gone to events like this, come away feeling, you know what, I might not be healed physically, or my direct intention may have not gotten answered, but for some reason, I feel a little bit better. Well, that's a spiritual healing right there.
Exactly. And, you know, that's part of the ties in with the social part afterwards, because you just can't walk away from something like this spiritual and then just go by yourself. You have to, I think you have to gather with people and share, whether it's a beer or a sandwich or whatever, you know, and talk about what you felt. What did you experience in that procession? What did you experience in that healing service, in the Mass, when you went to confession? I mean, we had people that came out and said they had been away from the church for years, but something touched them in that healing service that they wanted to go further. They went to confession.
Wow.
They went to confession. And if that isn't the grace of Padre Pio, I don't know, because you know people waited in line for him. That, to him, that was the place where the rubber met the road.
That's right.
You know, in the confessional. So so I just encourage people to experience it. You know, it's this is our Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's an experiential kind of thing, you know. So I think that's what they'll find if they come.
And I think it sounds great. And I would also like to encourage anybody listening to attend the second annual St. Padre Pio Festival, which is going to be taking place from June 23rd through the 25th at St. Bede the Venerable Church. Monsignor, I've been blessed to speak at your parish two different times. You are doing such a great job there, and I want to thank you for the great job you're doing at St. Bede's. You have a vibrant adoration chapel there.
Yes.
So many good things are coming out of your parish. I hope to get back there again soon.
Yeah, we'll have you back, Gary. I know that people really enjoyed having you.
Awesome. And I want to thank my friend and your parishioner, Audrey Mento, for making this possible. She helped put me in touch with you to come the first time and to help get you on the air. Monsignor, before you leave us, would you give us a blessing, please?
Sure. Through the intercession of St. Padre Pio, may the Lord shower his blessings upon all of us in our listening area. May we be renewed in our faith and always remember that the Lord is with us as he comes to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Monsignor John Marine, thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning.
Thank you. God bless you, Gary.
God bless you as well. Boy, Dave, that sounds like it's going to be a great festival. The St. Padre Pio Festival, second annual spirituality, food, Dave?
Food. Healing.
I
would always go, I would open my mind. I mean, see that skepticism. I get skeptical sometimes.
Yeah.
And my point is, I want to put that in abeyance.
Dave, I agree with you. Me too.
Lord, work through me.
Right.
Padre Pio, effect that healing through me, in me, that I need,
even
spiritually
if,
and physically.
Even if it's not the healing that I'm looking for. It's not always the physical healing that we really need.
Exactly. Or the spirit. Well, spiritually, is to me, is more important. I mean, physically, you know, I'm going through some trials now, and I was thinking, I'm going to this festival.
Awesome.
I don't know if all 3 days, but I'm going to go, you know, so.
Yes, and is it okay to ask our listeners to say a prayer for you, Mr. Parker?
Oh, it's absolutely. I invite your prayers.
Dave is struggling with some knee issues, right?
some physical
issues right now. And if you listening out there would say a prayer, let's go for a complete physical healing for Dave Parker, however the Lord wants to do it. The Holy Spirit's moving me to say that, Dave. So
Thank you, Gary, for a physical healing
for our brother, Dave Parker. When we come back, it's time for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org. Call us at 215-345-1570 or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer of any use. You are the light of the world. Your light must shine before others, that they may see your good example and glorify your heavenly Father." In many ways, we Catholics blend in with a greater population. Culturally, we are very much the same. What distinguishes us, other than the fact that we attend the local Catholic Church? Do we pray grace in restaurants? Do we dress more modestly than is the current norm? Are we found at daily Mass? Are we openly pro-life with those who would disagree? How willing are we to risk disapproval for our commitment to our faith? How much do we really love Him? Now, what are our Catholic answers? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit in the morning with Gary Zimak.
That was The Lion and the Lamb by Big Daddy Weave. I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks so much for listening to our show, Spirit in the Morning. We're really blessed that you have decided to start your day with us. Okay, it's time for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Here it is. It comes from Acts 27:25. And these are the words of St. Paul. Therefore, keep up your courage, men. I trust in God that it will turn out as I have been told. Okay, what is this all about? Well, this is a verse that I chose for this day, June the 15th, in my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. And here's why I chose this verse. What's happening here is, for all of us, it's not easy to trust the Lord in the midst of a raging storm. So if you're in the middle of a storm, it is really not easy to trust. Let's be honest. It's difficult to trust. But because of his great faith, St. Paul was able to do just that. Now, he was sailing to Rome in a ship that was battered by a powerful storm. Paul, however, was assured by an angel that everyone on board would survive. He then proceeded to give that message, Dave Parker, to the crew, saying, keep up your courage, man. I trust in God that it will turn out as I have been told.
Wow, how powerful is that?
Dave, we are, and you know, we mentioned before the break, and we're going to continue to pray for your healing, brother,
from
your knee, because you've had a lot of issues with this knee, and you're trying to discern right now. Do you go for the full-blown surgery, the arthroscopic, whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
But we believe, Dave, that if the Lord chooses to physically heal you, he can just do that, too.
Oh, yeah.
He might do it through a surgeon. He might just miraculously do it. So we're going to continue to lift you
up thank you,
in prayer.
Gary.
But you're dealing with a bit of a storm right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's time for the storm to end.
Yeah,
and
right.
I mean, it's a decision. I'm coming up to make the decision soon. So, with the good guidance of the medical team that's I've been seeing, so they're awesome.
But,
and so I have to, you know, I have to gather all my evidence and all my facts and weigh the pros and cons and pray. I've been praying through this whole thing, and we talked about discernment.
Right, right.
You know, I've been discerning this, you know, but I'm thinking I'm coming to the end of this discernment process.
Okay. Which very well could be influenced by your prayers. And I think a lot of times forget that, that when we pray, and we had this discussion yesterday on the program with Father Scalia about the fact that the Lord most often works through the ordinary. And we fail to see the little miracles in our lives, the inspiration, this great idea that we got after praying. Well, that idea very well could have come from the Holy Spirit, because we've been praying for wisdom. And we often discount these ideas, these inspirations. And more importantly, we forget that with God, all things are possible. So, again, I feel the Holy Spirit moving me to tell you that, listening at home. You might be struggling with something in your life that looks hopeless. It's not hopeless. That's what St. Paul was relaying to his men. He was reassured by an angel that they would survive, and he believed it, even though he was watching the storm rage around him.
Yeah, and that was an ordinary thing. They were out on the sea and going about their business, and this raging storm came up.
Right.
Yeah, so that was ordinary to them. I mean, it happens.
Storms happen.
Calmness happens. And here it was in that day in their lives, and then basically the trust in God through St. Paul.
Right. Now look at Paul's faith. If that was me, the angel appeared and said, hey, Gary, everything's going to be okay, and then I'm in the boat and the storm starts raging, I'd forget about the angel, and I'd say, well, I don't care, we're dying.
I know.
But that's human nature. We often do that. So what do we do when we're faced with maybe a weakness in our faith? We pray. We pray for an increase. Every day, say, Lord, please increase my faith so that I can trust you more. And you read stories in sacred scripture. You see the many times that the Lord comes through as he promised. Jesus said he would rise from the dead. He did it. Everything he said he would do, he did.
Yeah, and look at the saints. We're called to be saints every day in our walk. But look at the saints of the church. What they have gone through.
And we talked about St. Padre Pio with Monsignor Marine just a few minutes ago. St. Padre Pio is well known for his phrase, pray, hope, and don't worry.
Exactly.
And that's such an important message for us. So remember that if you pray, that leads to hope. And if you have hope, then you're not going to worry. It really follows one after the other. So make sure you're praying for whatever you need. Speaking of prayer, Mr. P, I think it's time to close in prayer.
I think it is, Gary.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being with us all the time. We ask you to help us with the problems in our lives right now. Whatever they may be, we give them to you, Jesus. We know you can work miracles. We lift up our brother, Dave Parker. We ask you to heal the problems with his knee. Please grant him the wisdom that he needs to make the right decision with his medical treatment. And we pray, Jesus, for all of our issues, whatever they may be, help us to trust you more. And we ask for these things, Jesus, through the intercession of your blessed mother, Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Dave, we are about at the end of another show.
Yes, we are, Gary. What a great show.
It was. Tomorrow on the show, we'll be joined by our friend Dan Burke and Alicia von Stamwitz. She recently wrote a book about Pope Francis and his reflections on the Blessed Mother. So that's tomorrow's show. Remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. You know what to do. Turn around and say hi. Talk to you next time. God bless.